What a great song. Somebody answer me a question. And yes, here I go again. I'm not in my notes, and this has nothing to do with the message, but sometimes there's things that we talk about or that we think about. What does D-A spell? Duh. Duh. Everybody say it with me. Duh. Okay, I look at it, and each week I look for a duh moment. Because those two letters that say duh also stand for divine appointment. Listen, God has given all of us here a divine appointment. In other words, God has said, there's somebody I want you to talk to. There's somebody I want you to invest your life into theirs. And I'm going to bring them into your world, and you're going to have a duh moment, a divine appointment. I think it's important that we begin to realize that. I think it's important that we start looking for those divine appointments. And sometimes what happens, we become so self-centered in our Christianity that we make it all about us. God, what are you going to do in my life? God, how are you going to fix me? God, how are you going to put me together? And we forget that there's others who are suffering. And there's others who have needs. And there's others who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And they need to hear the hope that we can have in Jesus Christ. Folks, that's where you come in. Every single week, you have that opportunity. But because we put our blinders on, and because we're afraid, we don't do anything about it. Now, how do I know this? Because if we were doing something about it, we would see more people in church. We would be hearing more stories of what God is doing. We would be hearing more stories of how duh moments have come into your life and how we've stepped away from being selfish and being me-centered and we've started being God-centered. And that's what it's about. That's what we need. We need to be so excited about God that when we come face to face with that one that he's put before us, we say, wait a minute, let me tell you. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about how God can work this out or how God can take care of this. I want to share two stories. And I'm not in the message. So if we go over today, I humbly apologize if your roast burns. Okay? First story, somebody that needed, desperately needed, for somebody to have duh with them. Got called Wednesday morning, West Hotel. Walked into a hotel room, and here's a man laying on the bed on his side, television is playing, sitting on the what you put clothes in? Dresser. sitting on the dresser is this great big huge, and I mean, and I'm not exaggerating, great big huge bottle of vodka. Well, at one time it was a bottle of vodka. Now it's a great big huge empty bottle. Sitting with the bottle was a prescription of oxycodone that had been purchased 3 or 4 days earlier that was empty. Sitting next to it was blood pressure medicine that had been purchased a few days earlier. It was empty. Sitting next to it was some other kind of medicine or pill that I had no idea what it was. It was empty. The man had decided to go. He checked into the hotel, but he checked out on life. And he'd been laying there for 3 days. Nobody even knew he was dead. Guys, I remember scenes like that. And I could tell you other stories of people who have taken guns and put them in their mouths and squeezed the trigger. You want to see an ugly picture? Walk into that sometime. I could tell you other stories of what people have done to their lives. And you know what's missing? Jesus. Nobody has stepped into their life and brought them the message of Jesus Christ and brought them the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so they just decide to check out. I remember those. Another story. I didn't have an opportunity. I never knew this man, never saw this man, never met this man. I did not have an opportunity at all to speak into his life, but I did have the opportunity to talk to his family. Young boy came in past Monday, mad. Mad at the world, mad at his situation, mad at his family, mad at everything that was at home, and he came in and he sat down in my office and he was mad at me. And I hadn't even hardly met him. But one thing is, you sit down in my office, and that's going to give us a chance to talk. And I talked to him, and he was mad, and he wouldn't talk. He was just a horrible little monster of a brat. Being honest. But I loved him. And I talked to him. And I spent time with him. And he had to come back on Tuesday. And when he came in on Tuesday, he was a different young man. And I put him to work doing some chores and doing some things. And he came in and he looked at this, my redneck chess set. And folks, if you've not seen my redneck chess set, you need to take a look at it. And he said, "Do you play chess?" And I thought, "No, it's just there for decoration." We sat down and started playing chess. Oh, I could beat him. He's young, but he knew how to play. But what was more important to me during that time of playing chess was to engage him in conversation and to talk to him about Jesus Christ and to talk to him about how God could make a difference in his life. And we had a wonderful time of conversation together. That was a duh moment. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know where it's going to come from. But folks, all I can tell you is this. If you will open your eyes, and if you will open your heart, if you will get over the selfishness that is in all of us and be selfless in Jesus Christ, be selfless that we are willing to go out and to set our needs and our concerns and our problems aside, God is going to lead somebody to your life and you're going to talk to them and they're going to hear a message and it's going to mean something to them and they're going to want to know more. Every single week. And it's not just me. It's not just, well, pastor, that happens to you because you're the pastor. No. The only reason it happens to me is because my eyes and my heart are open. And we sang a song about all of my days, all of them, I will sing of your glory. I will sing of your praise. All of my days, I will share what you've done. Folks, open your heart, open your mind, open your eyes and look and see who can I speak to. And God will lead someone to you. When you wake up in the morning, say, God, lead somebody my way today. Look for the moment. And get over yourself. Because people are going to hotels and closing doors and checking out of this world without Christ. That's the way God works. Sometimes we sit over here and we sing and it's like, okay, yeah, I'll share it. I think I'll get to the message now. We started last week, and we're going to be in a little series on stewardship. Stewardship is something that we don't like to talk about. Stewardship is something that people don't like to listen to. And the thing is, stewardship is something that God has called us all to do. But it's also misunderstood. So we want to try, as we're going through this little mini-series here on stewardship, I want to try to break things down for you. Really, today we talk about the resources of a steward. Have you ever gone to McDonald's with children and you order them the Mac burger meal or whatever, and you might even get them this big super fries, and they take it and they sit down at their table, and you finish your fry and they're not done yet, and you reach over to take a couple of their fries just because you wanted a couple more fries, and you know, you've bought these, and you start to take a few, and what do they do? No! These are mine! You got your own fries. Leave mine alone. How many of you, when you've gotten a bag of McDonald's to take home and you had fries in there, you know how they spill out of the box, how many of you kind of cleaned up what's in the bag? Uh-huh. Kids don't know you took those. But they're, no, these are mine. And it kind of puts you in shock. And, you know, you start thinking about it. And I don't want to overthink it. But you think about it and you think, my child doesn't realize that I'm the source of the fries. He doesn't realize it. 5 minutes earlier, I went up to the counter and bought that child the supersized fries that they want. And that the reason they have those fries is because of me. And then you think about it a little further, I'm not only the source, but by golly, I've got the power. And I have the power to take them away if I decide I want to take them away. The child doesn't understand this. They don't understand that I don't really need their fries. They don't understand that, yeah, I can go back and get my own. And as a parent, then I reflect on the fact that I didn't really want the fries as much as I wanted them to have a willingness to share. Do you relate to that at all? See, God's taken us to McDonald's. And he's taken us to McDonald's, and he has poured his blessings on us. He's given you blessings. He's given me blessings. And yes, folks, everybody receives blessings from God. A lot of the time we don't realize it. And I hear people say, you know, my life is so messed up. I don't have any blessings in my life. That's not true. God has given us all blessings. Sometimes we need to open our eyes. We need to count our blessings more than we count our problems. And we need to look at the good things that God is doing instead of the bad things that God is doing. And we need to rejoice in that good, because God has given us blessings. The fact that you take another breath today, the fact that your heart beats one more time today, is a gift from God. That's a blessing. But God comes and he gives us fries and he gives them to everybody, and he sits down with us to share fellowship with you. And then he kind of reaches over just to take a little bit, and we say, no! No, these are mine. And God has to think, because God is the Heavenly Father, like a parent, they don't understand. They don't understand. I am the source of everything they have. And I have the power to take it away or to give them more. And God thinks, they don't understand. They don't realize that I don't need their French fries. It's just that God wants you to share. Not because he's hurting, not because he's needy, but because he himself, he has modeled this attitude of giving. And he wants it to be passed on to his children. I love this passage, John 3:16. Listen to this. For God so loved. And you know what I do here? It says the world, but you put your name in it, okay? So when I come to that, I'm going to say, for God so loved, I want you to say your name, will you? And then I'm going to go on. For God so loved, all right, that he gave his one and only son, that if believes in him, he shall not perish but have eternal life. See, God gives. And he gives, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives eternal life. And throughout the Bible, he's always giving. He is concerned this morning about our response. Lengthy passage of 1 Chronicles 29, beginning with verse 10, I want to read. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." 1 Chronicles 29:11, and it's yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. And just pick up on these points. And the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. And then you jump to 14, says, "But who am I?" As he questions himself. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generous as well as you did? God, you've given it all to us. And you've been so generous and you've been so kind. Who are we? How can we be as generous as you have been in our giving? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Verse 16, "O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." You know how this church got built? Because God blessed. Because God gave. That's how it happened. Wealth and honor come from you. You're the ruler of all things. And in your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. And David is saying, God, you are the total source. God, you are everything. And God is the source. And there is nothing in your hand that isn't a direct gift from God. Folks, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care what you do. I don't care how wealthy you are, how poor you are, whatever you think. Everything you have, absolutely everything, has been given by God. And nothing you have is not given by Him. Because He's God, and God is in this business of giving and giving and giving and giving. And sometimes we don't know where it's going to come from, but He gives more. Everything. And some people say, "Well, now wait a minute, Pastor. I have worked hard for what I have. I have put in long hours, and I've done overtime, and I have slaved, and I've put up with this, and I've put up with that, and I've done all of this to have what I have." I want you to think for a minute. Who gave you the strength? And who gave you the health? Folks, who gave you a family and who gave you a wife or a husband and who gave you children? Listen, there is nothing that God hasn't given to us. Absolutely nothing. And we need to understand, if we're going to understand stewardship, we need to understand that He, that is God, is the source of everything. Absolutely everything we have. And here's what it is. He wants us to give back. And more importantly, He wants us to give to others. Now, that's a rather long introduction into the message. But it's where we're at today. And there's three things that I want you to know, that I want you to understand. First of all, is God's power. And we need to understand His ability to give. By the way, is there anything God can't give? Can't think of a thing. Can't think of a thing. There's nothing that God can't give. And sometimes the way He gives is different than what we want. But He knows. And He knows what is best. 1 Chronicles 29:12, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. God has the ability to give to you, and He has the ability to give to me. Everything. And what He gives, listen to me now, what He gives is more than just material. We base things on what we can see or the money we can hold or the possessions we can have, but God gives us things that are so far beyond the material that we've got to get a hold of that. What about grace? What about grace? God has given us grace. What is grace? Grace is that forgiveness that is freely given by God. It is His grace that saves us. For by grace are we saved, not by works, right? It's grace. God gives that to us. And in His grace, He says, Dennis, I know that you've done bad things. Dennis, I know that in the past there's things you've done. Dennis, I know you're going to do things in the future that aren't going to please me. But I tell you what, by my grace, because I freely give my grace, I freely give my forgiveness, Dennis, I've got something planned for you that is greater than anything on this earth. And He says the same thing to you. God pours His grace into us. It is freely given, and it is freely received. What God gives goes so far beyond material possessions. And God has the power. He has the power to give you everything you need today. Now let me stop there for a minute. God promises to meet your needs. He promises to meet your needs. He does not promise to meet your wants. He doesn't promise to give you those things that are beyond your needs, but He does promise to meet your needs. There was how many of you ever heard of a guy by the name of Arlo Guthrie? He did a song one time many, many years ago, and I didn't figure the young people's hand would go up. But the words to the song went like this: Oh Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. Oh Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes Benz? And the whole song followed that whole set. And some of you that are ancient and old, you're with that, and I see Barry smiling, and I just got to pick on Barry a little bit. And that's an old song, but sometimes that's what we think. God's idea is that maybe you need the old clunker, the old super lemon, and that's meeting your needs and get you from point A to point B, but we're sitting there asking for the Mercedes or the Carmen Ghia. Some people get horses instead of Carmen Ghias.
But listen,
we can never, never underestimate what God can give us. And He gives us everything. God will give you what you need. So what is that need? It has to do with anything that He would ask you to do. Would God really ask you to do something without the resources to do it with? But we have a twofold problem. We want resources that we don't need. We want resources that we don't need. And God says He will give you what you need when you need it. And He only gives to me what I need. Said one time, boy, if I was to win the lottery, now by the way, I don't even play the lottery, but if I was to somehow come into that and win all this fortune of money, you know, what I would do. But God knows me. And He knows that probably if I won all that money, I'd blow it on something. And He knows what I need. He knows what it is. And for us, folks, it's a matter of trusting God. It's a matter of trusting God. We are like the children of Israel. And here's how it works. God's got these people out, and they're in the desert, and God provided for them. You remember, He provided what they call manna. And they would go out in the mornings, and they would just pick this up, and they could eat it during the day, but they weren't to keep it overnight. What happened to it if they were to keep it overnight the next morning when they'd wake up? Moldy, full of worms, icky, gross stuff, not fit to eat. They weren't to store it up, but He was providing. And the reason that they weren't to store it up, God was showing these people His provision. He was showing them that I can provide for you. I can provide all of your needs. Don't worry about this. I can do this. And He provided that provision for them so that they would not go hungry as they wandered through the desert. And He gives you what you need today, not any more and not any less. And now there's that partnership of God. David goes on and he says, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generally as this? Generously as this. Everything comes from You, and we have given You only what comes from Your hand. God wants us, folks, to be like Him. Okay? He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be giving. And one of the big things He wants us to do, He wants us to give to others. To give to others. And He wants us to pour our life into the lives of other people to make a difference in their life. He wants us to be a giving generation. And that same grace that He has shared with us, we share with others. In Matthew 25, listen to this. Jesus is talking and He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Listen to that. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. God has planned this for you from the beginning of time. He has said, I've got a place for you. I've got a kingdom where you're going to live. I've prepared a home for you. And it's been there and it's waiting for you. And He's waiting for you to come. And He goes on, He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?
or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me." Man, sometimes when you read scripture, it hits you and it stops you right where you're at. Can you imagine you're standing before God? And you're there, and God is there, and Jesus is there, and it's all there, and you're standing there, and he looks right at you. And he looks in your eyes, or he looks at your face, and he says, "Depart from me. Get away. You don't belong here. Depart from me." How deep is that? How much pain is that? "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply. Thank you, Roger. That's not the reply. He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of these, the least of these, you did." I'm sorry. "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And listen to what happens next. "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." We are accountable to God for what we do with his blessings. When he gives us French fries, okay, we're accountable for our resources, and we're accountable for giving to others, because when we give to others, we're giving to God. When we give to those who are needy and those who are hurting, we're doing what God has called us to do. We're stepping beyond ourselves and reaching out. I'm so excited again this year. We're doing the garden, and there's people in this town we've talked about who are hungry. I saw a statistic today on television, and it said 10% of the people in northwestern Illinois are hungry today and without food. I didn't make that up. It was on television. Maybe they made it up. I don't know. But then they went into this whole national thing about how many people in America are hungry. And I'm so glad that we've got started on the garden, and Bill and Roger and Barry are on top of that. We're going to be announcing when we're going to plant seed here in the near future, and there's going to be plenty of work to do, and then we give all the vegetables away and feed those who need it. God says, when you give to others, you give to me. By not giving to others who are needy is not giving to God. And that's the way God works. Such an amazing God. So much care for man. Listen, he wants us to care for each other because we are incomplete without each other. God gives me gifts. And you know what? Those gifts are not complete unless I give. God created us to be givers in this life. And it's hard for us because we live in a twisted and a sinful society. And it's hard for us to understand all the greed that exists in society. It's hard for the church to understand that as a church we have some French fries, okay? And God also put around you certain people that have needs. You have people in your life that have needs. And when you give to them, God says, then you give to me. Now I want you to do something. Specific instructions today. How many of you know somebody with a need? You don't have to raise your hand, and I don't do that. How many of you know somebody with a need? And it's maybe not just money. It's maybe they need some of your time. Maybe they need some of your energy. Maybe they need a visit. Listen, look around today and see in the church who's missing. What do you think they need this coming week, those who aren't here today? A phone call? That's probably a pretty certain thing. Maybe they need a visit. Maybe they need to know somebody cares, and you take the time to go visit with them and talk to them and let them know that they're missed in church because they are a part of the body here. What is their need and how can you meet that need? But think about it today. Think about a name and whose name comes to mind right now as we're thinking about somebody that's in need. Your assignment this week, and what I call you to do this week as a church, is to give to God by giving to someone else, by taking part of your life and pouring it into their life. Taking part of what God has given you. And now, again, we're not talking necessarily just money. Or there's so many things we can give because God has blessed us so much. But taking part of your life and recognizing somebody else's need and now pouring your life or pouring your blessings into others. Your assignment this week is to give to God by giving to someone else. Do you have a name in mind? Who is it? Who are you going to contact? Who are you going to touch this week for God? Whose life are you going to make a difference in for God? Who are you going to be willing to go and visit and invite them to church? What are you going to do? And I'm sorry, most of the time people come back, especially when it comes to this people skill thing, and they say, Pastor, that's your job. No, it isn't. It is not my job. It never will be my job, and it was never designed to be my job. My job, according to Scripture, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. You have been given the gifts. You have been given the ability. You have been given the power. The source is in you to go and to make a difference. The source is in you to go out and to bring people in. The source is in you to speak into somebody's life that has a need. And I guarantee today that all of you know someone. Now look for the moment. And you can do it. I know God has blessed you with what you need to accomplish this. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Remember, God says to the sheep, come on in. This has been prepared from the beginning of time and is waiting for you. And to the goats, to those who can't see past themselves, who can't see past their own little issues and burdens, to the goats, he says, get away. Never want to hear that. Never want to hear that. This week, your challenge, every person here, children, adults, men, women, that's your challenge. And next week when we come back together, I sure hope some people can share some stories with me. Did what you said, Pastor, and this is what happened. And that's when we get excited. Stewardship is more than just money. Stewardship is using the resources that God has given you to give to others. And there's so many ways we give. So what are you going to do? I heard about something this week, and I'm tickled. This is how it plays out sometimes. We have a dear brother in the church. He's here this morning. He's in pain and he's uncomfortable. But David, we're glad you're here. David had surgery. And I saw a message on Facebook, came across on my phone that David couldn't get his lawn mowed. Is there anybody that could help him? That's right. Thank you. Yeah, Rob and his boy stepped in. Folks, let me tell you something. That is what we're talking about. That's giving. That's seeing a need that can be met, and that's giving. And next week, wouldn't it be excited if I came together with you, or I won't be here next week. 2 weeks. Wait a minute. Will I be speaking in 2 weeks? I won't be speaking in 2 weeks. We got a guest speaker coming in that is outstanding. I can't wait for you to hear this speaker. It's going to be a dynamite service. But anyway, next time I speak, that gives you even more time. If you can come in and share, and everybody say, you know what? God laid this person on my heart, and I did this, and everybody can raise their hand and say, yes, we met a need. Because we served. Let's bow our heads. Who needs you this week? Who is it that God has laid on your heart that you need to talk to or you need to invest in their life? Who is it that you need to bring to church? Who is it that you just need to go and let them know that somebody cares? A man walks into a hotel and drinks a bunch of vodka and pops a bunch of pills because he felt nobody cared. He felt nobody loved him. He felt he didn't have any importance in this life. Who are you going to touch and use the blessings God has given you to meet the needs of another? Heavenly Father, I lift this body up to you. And I know, Lord, that there are some here who hear this message and will respond to it. I know there are some here, Father, who will go out and make a difference and use the gifts that you've given them, use the abilities that you've given them to be good stewards and to move forward with that. Father, there's also those here who just can't see past themselves. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Father, change their heart. Let them know that you've reached down to touch them. That you're blessing them and they don't even realize it. Father, fill their hearts so full with your love and with your grace that they move beyond themselves to somebody else's life. That they would give as you have given. Father, I pray that the people of this church would develop such a burden for the lost, such a burden for neighbors, and such a burden for relatives, for friends, that they would want to go out and meet needs, and they would want to be about your business, that we would learn to give as you have given and to be so selfless in that act that we trust everything, Lord, to you. Father, I pray for the moment and the moments in people's lives. Lord, pour your blessings out. In Jesus' name, amen.